This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Thursday, the 29th of September. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. Now, in half an hour, we are going to discuss the political future of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, of Saudi Arabia, now that he's been named the Prime Minister of the country. But as always, let's kickstart the morning with a look at how global markets closed yesterday.
Oh, U.S. markets had a very good day. The Dow was up 1.9%, S&P 500 up 2%, while Nasdaq was up a whopping 2.1%. Meanwhile, in Asia, it was all red. Nikkei was down 1.5%. Hang Seng was down a whopping 3.4%. Shanghai and Straits Times Index both down 1.6%, while our very own FBMKLCI was down 0.6%.
So for some thoughts on what's moving international markets, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I want to start off with moves by the Bank of England that said it would move to buy long-dated government bonds in order to stabilize capital markets. Can you talk us through what the BOE is trying to do and whether this will ultimately be successful?
Yes. So here's what happened. You had some pension funds who bought debt instruments called gilts, and they used those gilts as collateral to borrow more money to buy more debt instruments. And they used that as collateral to borrow more money to buy more instruments. So they were many times leveraged on these government debt instruments. And when the value of those gilts declined, they had to provide collateral against the loans they had taken out to buy that debt. So it's a very circular kind of series of events that's happened. So because these pension funds got in trouble, the UK, the Bank of England, wanted to prevent their insolvency, of course, because many of them are government pension funds. Since the Bank of England has nearly endless currency, you know, they can help the government come to a relatively orderly decline. So is it ideal? No. But there was some messaging out from the new prime minister in Whitehall that was very disturbing to government bond investors, and that triggered the sell-off. And then that triggered a multi-billion pound rescue from the Bank of England.
Okay, I want to stay on the topic of the United Kingdom, but ask about the currency. Amidst this, they must be the only G7 country still doing quantitative easing in some way. Where do you think the pound is heading then, though?
Well, because of the energy environment, they're going to be spending more money on subsidies to help the British people through the winter. And more pound-denominated spending is actually makes the pound stronger, but you have aggressive quantitative easing and you have a relatively stronger U.S. dollar. So it's possible that we see the pound decline, say, 3 to 5% more. Unless something dramatic happens, like another event like today, or another event by the government that really erodes credibility, I don't see a lot more decline happening, but it's a weird year. It's a weird few years that we're having right now, right? So I think on some level, it's really hard to tell. And, you know, the problem with losing credibility is that you lose credibility. And if they erode even more credibility, you know, it could be worse than anybody thinks. So I think that's a small chance. I think we're probably in a range at this point.
And if we take a look over at the U.S., we have seen Fed officials reiterate the very hawkish stance that they have. But San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President Mary Daly said that the bank is resolute about bringing down high inflation, but wants to do so as gently as possible so as not to drive the economy into a downturn. Do you think it's possible at this point to engineer a soft landing, or is a recession inevitable?
I think it's possible to engineer a soft-ish landing. I think the problem that the Fed's facing is they were very slow to respond to inflation. And so now they're trying to respond as quickly as they can, and they're responding in a very kind of brutal kind of way. And so, you know, Mary Daly coming out with these as gently as possible comments, are good, and that's new. Neel Kashkari yesterday said, he's another Fed governor, he said there is the risk of overdoing it on the front end, meaning that the Fed could raise rates too quickly. So some of these governors are getting out with messaging, trying to soften their hard, the Fed's hard message over the last, say, couple of months. So the wording from the Fed, the ongoing wording generally from especially Jay Powell, has been that, that there are going to be ongoing aggressive hikes. And that's scaring people. So I think the Fed needs to be less aggressively hawkish in their language. So that doesn't mean they turn dovish. That doesn't necessarily mean they start doing QE. They just need to be less aggressively hawkish. And that's just toning down the language. I think it's a little bit too little too late, in as much as markets have fallen by, say, 23%, I think, since the highs. But I think if they start inserting some less aggressively hawkish language, we can have a smoother glide path to, you know, to balance, meaning higher interest rates, more moderate equity markets at a slower pace.
Okay, Tony, can you help us understand what happened today in markets? Because I'm a little bit confused in the sense that U.S. 10-year Treasury yields fell the most since March 2020. On a day like this, equities shouldn't go up, but it did. Why?
Well, I think equity investors are seeing what the Bank of England did. And I think on some level, they see equity markets versus central banks as a bit of a game of chicken. Mm. And the Bank of England blinked. And I think equity investors are hoping that the Fed will slow down or blink. This is not a pivot, meaning when people talk about the Fed and say a pivot, they mean pivoting to quantitative easing and pivoting to dovish language. I don't see that at all. But I think equity investors are seeing a chance of the Fed becoming less aggressively hawkish, as I was saying. So I think that's really what happened, is just a quick breath saying, oh gosh, you know, maybe they're going to slow down a little bit, which would be positive for equity markets.
And if we take a look at the Nord Stream gas pipeline disruption, that does seem to have changed the energy calculus in Western Europe. How do you think it's going to affect the dynamics of energy prices over there, especially with winter looming?
Yeah, I think it will affect, but there isn't a lot of gas coming via Nord Stream. There are other pipelines bringing gas to Europe. So it's really, at the moment, more perception than reality. So Europe has a fair bit of gas in storage for winter. It's 80-some percent of their goal. So they're in pretty good shape. They're not in great shape, but they're in pretty good shape. They can't make it all the way through winter with what they have in storage, but they aren't reliant on Nord Stream to fill their reserves further. So I think the kind of the gut punch on this is that it's a pretty damaging leak, and so it would be really, really hard to get it back online if Russia, say, something happened with a resolution of Ukraine, Russia, and, you know, there was optimism that Russia could turn on the taps again. That would be that would be really hard to achieve. So it'll be an expensive winter for energy in Europe, but Nord Stream doesn't really impact it all that much. It's more the, say, the long-term hopes and expectations for Nord Stream.
Tony, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead, really assessing what's happening over in the UK with the actions by the Bank of England overnight that has helped somewhat to calm the plunge in the pound sterling that we've seen over the past few days. I think this pound has rallied.
Yeah.
How long this equilibrium will last, I think, is anyone's guess.
Well, this morning, pound against ringgit is 5.0260. At the lowest in the last few days was, if I'm not wrong, 4.8, right? So it has truly, truly recovered. But volatile markets ahead, I think. Still question marks about whether Liz Truss' economic policy makes any sense. Confusion over the tax cuts, how they're going to pay for it, reverberating around global markets, because we've seen actually global bond yields peak. Questions about whether, you know, there will be more activities by central banks to intervene to prop up their currencies or to restore calm to their own respective markets. Because we saw that in Japan, and apparently even South Korea says it plans to conduct an emergency bond buyback program.
Indeed. We do see also that the yuan is coming under pressure, and China's central bank has issued a strongly worded statement to warn against speculation after the currency dropped to its lowest versus the dollar since 2008.
I love the language. The language is released yesterday to not bet on one-way appreciation or depreciation of the yuan, as losses will definitely be incurred in the long term. Can't spell it out more clearly than that, right?
Indeed. 7:16 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages. And when we come back, what does Selangor need more? Another quarry or preservation of its forests? Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.